We are now talking about the National Disability Insurance Scheme. So this month, Minister Stuart Robert announced a number of changes of what he alleges are practical changes to the NDIS. So what exactly would this include? So criticisms currently include of the case include a variety of long-term failures relating to providing fraud allegations, alongside a lot more general questions around costing issues, around the issue of staffing. So the question does remain on what kind of impacts this might have on some of Australia's most vulnerable who are in need of the NDIS. So to find out more, I am currently joined on the line by Helen Dickinson. She's a professor in public service and research at the University of New South Wales. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning, Amelia.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. So NDIS Minister Stuart Robert has noted that the government's plan for the NDIS is focusing on six key aims. So could you sort of unpack what these aims are?
Yes. I mean, a lot of them are around things like getting quicker access to services, having better decision-making in the system, and being more equitable and consistent in decisions, and making better long-term outcomes for participants. And so, I mean, the six aims, there are a number of aspirations around those, and there's been some concrete things announced around some of those. But I think some of it was announcing that they would be the major kind of areas that would be focused on. And so, as an example of some of the types of promises that have already been made, there's a promise that people who have an NDIS plan will be able to use their funding a bit more flexibly. So at the moment, what happens is your funds are locked into particular categories of supports and activities, and it's not always easy to move funds between those different categories. And so one of the promises is that's going to be made a lot more easy. And also, when people do get a plan for the NDIS, at the moment what happens is you meet with a planner, and then it's a bit of time before you actually receive the plan in the post. So you know, effectively, the first time you see it is when it turns up. But now there's been a promise that people will be able to see a draft of that plan before it's approved. And that's really important, because if that plan isn't quite right the first time, then you need to go into a big review process around that as well. And there's also some promises around people being able to make small changes to their plans and to have longer plans as well.
And one of the other aspects, I guess, in this particular area is for those with complex needs, I guess, there is that question of ensuring like a single point of contact for those with a stable disability to have an extended 3-year plan as opposed to a 12-month plan, which was another aspect offered by the coalition. How difficult from an implementation perspective would it be to make a measure like this possible?
In some senses, it's not hugely difficult. I mean, one of the things that it's worth mentioning is, you know, the NDIA, the agency that administers the NDIS, it is under a staffing cap that's been imposed by the government, and probably has fewer people who work within it than were originally planned. So all of the planning happens outside of that agency, and there's a general sense that there aren't sufficient numbers of planners. And if we think over since the NDIS has been rolled out, I think over about 300,000 people have so far received plans, and then they're all, you know, the majority of those are reviewed on an annual basis, and then they're also kind of reviews of plans triggered when they prove not to be appropriate. So in some senses, having fewer plans to do, it is a really welcome thing, and it might lead to people getting onto plans a bit quicker, because it's a huge endeavour. But choosing the right people to go onto those plans is going to be a really important thing. If your circumstances change, then actually it's likely that, you know, that'll have impact on your plans. And obviously, some people have disabilities that aren't necessarily stable and consistent across time. So people might, you know, degenerate slightly and need and have different sorts of needs, and changes around your families and friends would do that as well. So the real issue there will be in choosing the people that will be most suitable for that. But my understanding is that it's more of a people people request to go on to a longer plan. So people won't be imposed with having these longer plans, I don't think.
Yeah, because that was going to be my next question, asking who has the agency in those instances to choose whether you do go on a long-term, stable, fixed plan as opposed to those complex needs. Because if your situation does change, as you're saying, you're going to want more communication in that instance.
Yeah, that's right. And at the moment, I mean, some people are on 2-year plans, and that's due to people's request to do that. It's not a huge proportion of people, but that's due to request and negotiation. And don't forget that even if you go on to a plan and you were to go on to a 3-year plan, and if your circumstances did change significantly, then you would be able to get in touch with the NDIA and request that your plan be reviewed. I mean, that's an option that's there at the moment. So I don't think it's a case of you'll be left with that plan and you can't do anything about it for 3 years. But for some people who, have relative stability around their life and their disability, actually not having to go through that planning process every 12 months and being able to have that certainty over the longer term, and also think about how you spend funds slightly different for the longer term, will be hugely welcome.
And one of the issues that the NDIA is currently facing is this whole conversation around staff shortages. In 2014 alone, there was a staffing cap of up to 3,000 people. Some say if the NDIA continues to spend such a significant amount on staffing that this could have a negative impact. Do you agree with this, or is this a question more to do with quality staffing, or is it simply an aspect of numbers?
So originally, the plan in the original Productivity Commission plan that was set out in 2011 was for the NDIA to have about 5,000 people who would work for it. And as you say, that cap was put in a couple of years ago. I think it's a real challenge because internationally, we haven't seen anything like the delivery of such a huge system in such a short period of time. And indeed, a number of the reviews into the scheme that have been undertaken have said actually the pace is really too quick. You have to remember it's not just the establishment of this huge scheme and for the consumers of those schemes working in different ways and the creation of disability markets of the like that we haven't seen before. There's a real challenge in delivering that, and I think the NDIA does need more people to be able to do some of that. At the moment, they spend quite a...
And we've lost Helen again, unfortunately. I think she's just having a few issues with her phone, which is very unfortunate. But we have been speaking with Helen Dickinson. She is the Professor in Public Service and Research at the University of New South Wales, joining us on The Daily to talk about the potential changes to the NDIS and hopes to better improve the depth and breadth of its services alongside the challenges that do stand in its way.